Mildred, I'd like to begin by asking you to describe your divorce for me. You said you went back after the war to Michigan and to get your divorce.
I started to file suit here, and the lawyer had written a letter to him in Michigan and got word back that he had immediately filed suit back there. So to get anything at all, salvage anything at all for the kids, I went back. I didn't tell him I was coming. I just went back. I had a brother that lived there in Pontiac, and I went there and went down and got a lawyer, filed cross suit, and it was very simple. I was there only there 3 weeks, and it was filed and came up in court right away. He didn't even show up in court. His lawyer was there. He didn't contest it in any way. The divorce was final as soon as the judge signed the papers. And I had complete custody of the children, and he was told to pay child support.
And when you say he filed suit, what kind of...
Well, he filed on a desertion charge, which wasn't true, because he knew where I was. In fact, he wrote to me all the time, and he came out here. I left in 43, and I went back in 46 to get the divorce, and he had been out here twice to see the kids and me, and tried to talk me into coming back. When I told him no way, then he just went back and went back to his old pursuits. And there was no problem over the divorce at all, except that he didn't think the court meant it when they said he had to pay child support. And at that time it was very slight, $7 a week per child. And he didn't pay for some time, and I notified the court here. Well, the California court and the Michigan courts have a ongoing agreement, and the courts here notified the Michigan courts, and he was told to pay up and keep it paid up, or he would be put in jail. So he was not too lax about not paying. And he didn't appreciate it in any way, because, well, he was an odd person anyway. He was too young to be married. He was glad he was divorced. He was too young to be the father of four children. In his 30s, 35, he was too young to be a father of four children, he said. Anyway, he eventually married another woman with four children and helped raise them. I'm sure no better than he helped raise mine. But the kids and I, we got along very well. They went to school, and I worked, and they helped with the housework and the yard work. They were all good kids, real good kids.
What was it like emotionally for you to help them go through that?
I had settled the emotional part all before I left him. I had gone through enough that with his drinking and his womanizing, that I had that all settled. I wasn't about to go back. I was perfectly calm in my own mind. That was all over. I shed all the tears before I left.
Was it hard for you when you did leave and you came to California and through those years? I guess what I want to ask is if it was hard emotionally to think about being a divorced woman or a separated woman or...
No, not emotionally. It was hard socially, because at that time, it seemed as if most of the men I met thought that a divorced woman was easy play, and you had to wear your boxing gloves. They just figured that if you were divorced, you were lonesome and you needed a man. They couldn't understand that I didn't need a man. So I didn't do too much dating. And there again, he came out several times after the divorce. And stayed, took the kids out. He was still trying. I mean, he didn't get married for several years after we were divorced. And one of the boys, more, he shows his emotions more than the other three kids did, and he kept trying to get us back together. He kept thinking that Dad and I should go back together, that he resented the fact that he didn't have a father living with us, and he tried many, many ways to get us back together. And after he grew up and married, he found out that those things don't straighten themselves out that way, that easily.
When did you meet your cousin?
Oh, early in the 50s. He had come out from New York. He'd been in the service for 4 years, been over in the islands, and his folks had moved out here during the war. He'd been married back there, and his marriage had gone on the rocks, and he'd come out here. He made up his mind right then that he and I were going to be married, and he's younger than I, and I said, no way. Wasn't marrying a man younger than I.
How much younger?
10 years. But he was more persistent than I was. And we have one boy. That's the one that we're both so proud of. Not that I'm not proud of all the rest of the kids, too. This one put himself through Long Beach State, worked his way, worked 5 years part-time at Disneyland, in the kitchen washing dishes, making salads, the French Quarter restaurants. And then he worked at Anaheim Memorial Hospital. He was a lab tech, and now he's supervisor of the trying to remember the what he calls the lab at Sentinel Hospital, medical center it's called. And he did this all on his own. He moved out when we bought this house in 1972. We bought a 4-bedroom house because we figured we'd have Grandma and Rob, who knows who all. And we moved in September, and he moved out in February. all his friends lived by themselves or with other kids. He moved out in February before he was 21 in March. Not that I love you less. And as I say, he's now supervisor of the lab at the Sentinella Medical Center. My father-in-law had run a grocery store in Massachusetts for 20-some-odd years. My in-laws are both native of Portugal. My father-in-law never learned to read or write in English. In fact, he never went to school, only a year or two in Portugal. My mother-in-law was 12 when she was brought here by her father from Madeira, and they worked in the Firestone factories around New Bedford, around that area of Massachusetts. And the fabric, cloth manufacturing factories there. And then after they were married, sometime, he started up this small grocery store. He ran the grocery store through the Depression in the 30s, and for not having an education, he was a very intelligent man. When they moved to New York, he had bought a small hotel and bar, and when my husband came back from the service, he worked nights in the bar as a bartender and went to school I'll never tell you where he went to school, but he got his studied accounting and business days and worked nights in the bar. And sometime around 1950, his folks moved out here. And then his father, I don't remember what his father did. When Armin first came out, he worked for a tool and die company. And his father worked in the tool crib there. He wasn't educated to do any manual work or anything like that, though. He was a very good carpenter. He was very handy to have around. He was like my father. He could do just about anything you wanted. But, like I said, he could not read nor write in English. And my mother-in-law went to school and learned to read and write in English. And you can't give her enough books to read. She still likes to read.
Did she work outside the home?
She worked, yes. She worked at Pacific Tile, where they made the ceramic tiles. She worked there for several years. But when they came to California, they had money enough that they didn't really have to worry too much about it. She worked at Pacific Tile to keep busy. She's very hyper, I think he went to work just to get in enough quarters to draw Social Security.
Does your husband have brothers and sisters?
He has two brothers, is all. Both younger.
How did you meet him?
Fury's brother. His brother and my youngest daughter ran away and were married. We have a very confused family relationship.
It's not down here on the paper.
I know. We don't try to explain it to too many people. The grandchildren call me Grams, and they call him Uncle Armand. And we leave it that way. We don't explain. My daughter and his brother were married a little over 4 years, and they separated. She had a son and daughter, a daughter and a son, rather. And then several years later, they both remarried, and she now has two sons by her second husband. And he is now married to his third wife. But like I say, it's a very confused family relationship, and we don't confuse too many people by explaining it.
What made you decide to get married again?
I like to be with people. I don't like to live alone. And by the time I met him, my other kids were all out of school. The oldest boy had joined the Marine Corps. The second boy had gone into the Air Force. The youngest daughter was married. The oldest daughter married a year and a half later. And all of a sudden, I'm just about alone. And it was good that I married him, because I never have been happier. He's done very well at his work. He's vice president and treasurer of the company he works for now. I want for very little. I have been very happy.
Did you plan to have another child?
No. No way. Not 14 years after. No way. No way. I had not planned it, and I had, during the pregnancy, I developed a very hot appendix, and we had, I had him see a cesarean section, and while we were doing the C-section, we also took out the hot appy, and we did a tubal ligation, because I was not about to raise another big family. This one was enough. And even though he's 15 years younger than the other kids, he's not a spoiled child. It was a running battle constantly, because he's my little brother, and I'll spoil him if I want, and he's not, no way. He's a very sweet, loving boy, young man. He's 28 now, young man. He's not going to get married because he can't afford himself, let alone a woman. That's what he tells me.
What was that adjustment like, finding out you were pregnant and then having this newborn baby at that time in your life?
At that time in my life, I felt like I'd like to jump off the end of the pier, because I was still working at Douglas. And I had to take off 5 months, 7 months. And then find a babysitter, go back to work. My husband, when he came out here, he had been working as an accountant in New York, but he was very unsure of himself, and he was very emotionally upset about his marriage breaking up. Not that he was that emotionally upset about his wife. My husband was a very macho person. He couldn't understand somebody not loving him. And I played psychiatrist. And he talked it all out, and he finally admitted that it wasn't that he was so much in love with her. It was the fact that she had been running around and things behind his back. He couldn't understand anybody doing that to him. But we had a very, very good baby. He never was sick. He was sick. By the time he was a year old, he'd get a viral pneumonia. He'd go into convulsions. His temperature would flare up to 104, 105, and he'd go into convulsions. And he did this off and on for a couple of years, and by the time he was 4, he had his tonsils out. His tonsils and adenoids, he never was bothered with it afterwards. And from then on, he never had anything that he was sick with. A very healthy young child.
Did your husband help a lot with his care?
No, no. Neither of them did. My husband doesn't like babies until they're old enough to be running around getting into things, and then he likes to spoil them when they say, "I want, give." And there again we had problems. Everything Rob wanted, he wanted to give. And he couldn't understand me saying no. And I'd say he doesn't. He just doesn't need everything that he wants, and he cannot have it. And my husband couldn't understand. That isn't the way we Portuguese raise our babies. We give them everything. And I'd say, well, we stubborn Americans aren't like that. They have to earn some of their way. And by the time he was going to school, he was able to make his bed, he was able to pick up his own clothes, take care of his own things, and to this day he's a very good housekeeper, and he's a wonderful cook.
Did the cultural differences between your husband's Portuguese background and your background create problems?
To a certain extent. Portuguese women always give in to their husbands. And I wasn't raised that way. And he still gets a little upset with me because I defy anybody to tell me I have to do something. I tell them all they have to do is say please or ask. Don't order. Because I just back off when they tell me I have to do something. They say, you gotta. No way. Well, we have a running argument in the family about this. He loves codfish. And when I go up to my daughter's in San Francisco, I always bring home this great big dried salted cod. I bring them home. I give them to his mother. I give them to his cousin, and they cook them. I will not cook the stinking stuff. He can have all of it he wants, but I won't cook it for him. I cook a lot of other things that he likes in the Portuguese way, but not codfish. I don't like it, and I just won't have the stuff in my house. In fact, his aunt's here from New York right now, and we went to a Portuguese restaurant down on Sepulveda in Torrance last Saturday night. It's a very small place. And he can get codfish down there. And everything is cooked strictly Portuguese style. And in fact, the cook is from Portugal. He's only been here a year and a half. I don't know how my husband found it, but that's where we had dinner, and his aunt was giving me a going over because I said I wouldn't cook codfish. Well, she would cook codfish. I said, go ahead. Not me. No way. And that upsets him when I argue, when I talk to his aunt like that. But I tell, she understands. Because her husband doesn't push her around either.